Trenton, New Jersey, 10:30 a.m. The scent of lilacs drifted on the morning air. Washington smiled. A dream? Strange that you can at times realize you are in a dream. But is it one? Martha was standing in the open doorway at Mount Vernon, waving, calling his name, the way she had so often greeted him when he came home after a long trip, unable to contain her excitement, her delight showing when she first caught a glimpse of his horse trotting up the lane. Propriety forgotten in front of the house servants and field hands, she held up the hem of her dress as she sprinted girl-like down the steps and onto the graveled path. It was a beautiful morning. To his left, the broad sweep of the Potomac reflected the turquoise blue sky, whitecaps dancing across the river, a schooner close-hauled, bow wake foaming, catching the sun, sparkling like diamonds. It was an all-so-perfect morning. Warm, the kind of warmth that bespoke a hot day to come, but now, in the first hour after dawn, after a long night of travel, the warmth would soak into his bones and make him feel so alive. Looking forward to breakfast at home, catching up on the local news, sharing the day together. She was coming closer. He could hear her laughing. Mount Vernon. Strange, some of it was as he remembered it as a young man, still a bit of a rough-hewn look to the place, before her hand guided the creation of the finer touches, the change of paint, the new curtains from England, the expansion of the porch as a place for a score of friends to sit on a summer evening to watch the sky and river darken. And yet, with another look, it was indeed changed back again to his memories of an earlier youth. It must be a dream, but he reveled in it as she drew closer.
George!
He slipped out of the saddle, the way he would sometimes do as a younger man, swinging right leg forward and over his horse's neck and then dropping to the ground. A bit of bravado, for after all, was he not the finest horseman along 50 miles of the Potomac? He alighted, grinned, and flung his arms wide. She leapt into his embrace, still laughing, face radiant, eyes sparkling, brow and cheeks not yet lined with age. She kissed him excitedly.
"Oh, George, you should have been home ages ago,"
she exclaimed, kissing him again and again as he held her high in the air.
"What kept you?"
"What kept me?" Had it been a hunt that went too far afield? He and the others deciding to just make it a night, building a fire and settling down under it, sleeping under the open canopy of the sky until first light of dawn, all of them joking about how wives would be waiting, arms akimbo, ready to let fly with various accusations. Or was he now just back from the Monongahela, bearing the first tidings of that terrible defeat? No, that was before Martha. Long before her.
"You're cold, George,"
she exclaimed, cupping both hands to his cheeks.
"Good heavens, you're chilled to the bone and soaked clean through."
She pushed back slightly, and he let her slip to her feet, stepping back slightly, her head tilted in a manner that could always cut into his heart.
"George Washington, you'll catch your death of cold."
The front of her dress was stained, wet from his holding her, and he wondered if the fine blue silk would somehow be ruined. But she didn't seem to care. She reached out to take his hand, clasping it firmly with both of hers, chafing it vigorously even as she turned to lead him back to the house.
"What have you been doing? We must get you inside at once, and get you out of those wet clothes this instant."
How he adored the way she could at times take command of him this way. Her gentlest suggestion, a wish for him to fulfill. Her orders, something he would accept with a knowing smile and follow, if only to please her. She began to chatter away, telling him all the news of what had happened since he left. How long ago was it? Yesterday afternoon? A month ago? 10 years? There was talk of the Richardsons and their newborn twins, of the storm that had blown down a favorite old chestnut tree where, as a boy, he had gathered nuts to roast, But when was that? Wasn't that 8 years past? It's wood now paneling a guest room. Talk of a new colt from a favorite sire. The loss of a hunting dog.
Poor thing. We buried him as you would have wished.
She sighed. The arrival of new china settings for 12 and apologies that they had cost £8 more than expected, and 4 of the cups arrived broken and how their agent in London would hear of it. Such a thing. He laughed and shook his head. 4 cups broken. Strange how important that now was, and he clucked, saying he would send a letter forthwith and insist upon proper replacement without charge, for, after all, the entire set was useless until plates, cups, and saucers matched. She squeezed his hand with delight and exclaimed again how cold he felt. They were at the 4 steps that led up to the porch. One of his hounds, now aged, allowed to run free about the place, came out from under the porch, tail slowly wagging in greeting, head up, sniffing at him. Poor thing, nearly blind. But still he could recognize his scent and drew closer. He reached down with his free hand and scratched him behind the ears. Was it Scotty, old George, or Max? But wasn't it old George who had died long ago and was buried under the chestnut? Accepting the greeting, the dog went back and, with a sigh, settled into the soft, warm earth under the porch. She stopped on the 3rd step, the place where, when she turned, she could meet him at exactly eye level.
"How I've missed you,"
she said, and, leaning forward, kissed him lightly on the lips. He drew her closer, and she laughed.
"You know everyone is watching us, George. What will they say?"
"They'll say that I'm home."